Amen. Today, just for a few moments, I hope that I can encourage all of us with something from the Word of the Lord. I want to speak specifically, though, to all of our graduates today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, it's a familiar text that many of you have heard before. You've heard it in church, you've heard it in sermons, you've heard it at funerals, you've heard it even in non-church events and ceremonies. It's one that's referred to quite often. But beginning in verse 1, it says, to everything. This is the wisdom of Solomon speaking here. To everything, there is a season. Everyone say season. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose. Everyone say purpose. That's all I'm going to make you talk back to me today, I promise. That's it. Just season and purpose. But I want those two words to sink down. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep. And for all of you hoarders in the room, a time to throw away. See, God's word is against hoarding, okay? So, verse 7, a time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Well, if there was one thing that I would love for this graduating class, these that are about to embark on a brand new world and a new life and a whole different way of doing things and doing life, if there's one thing that I would love for you to know about, if there's one thing I want you to carry with you, I want you to know the power of season. The power of season in our lives. In our world today, it's no secret, especially in our nation today, it's no great revelation that we have a major drug problem, drug issue. Addiction is on the rise like never before. You hear a lot about it on the news, and they talk about the opioid crisis that we're dealing with in our nation. And many are asking, why is this, and what caused this? And I know that there are certainly those that have those unique stories where maybe early in life, in high school or college, they experimented a little bit with something, and then maybe it happened through peer pressure or just wanting to sow some wild oats, and then as a result of just kind of testing something or trying something out, as a result, they ended up kind of falling in love with that high that they experienced. And consequently, they end up with this horrible habit which led to a terrible addiction. But really, this type that I just described, this type of addiction forming, if you will, it's really not the norm. You'll hear those kind of stories here and there, but that's more the exception and definitely not the norm when it comes to the addiction problem in our world. The great majority of those who have and do deal and struggle with drug and alcohol addiction and other addictions are those who are so deeply hurting. They're hurting so bad, whether it be physical pain, whether it be emotional pain, whether it be mental pain, whatever it may be, they're just hurting so bad and they're just searching for anything to take away the pain. They're just looking for anything that will mask the pain. And in many cases, they're not even looking for the high anymore. They're not even searching for that great high anymore. They're just looking for anything that will allow them to not feel. I just don't want to feel. I just want to be numb. Can you make my body numb? Can you make my heart and my emotions numb? Can you just make my mind and my brain just be numb for a little while? I just don't want to feel anymore. I don't want to feel this pain anymore. I don't want to feel this hurt anymore. And even if it's just for a little while, can you give me something to help me just mask and cover and hide the pain? But then there's another side to the same coin. If you were to ask someone by the name of Ashlyn Blocker, Ashlyn or maybe Ashlyn's mother, Tara blocker about pain and about suffering and about hurt. They would have a completely different story for you today. Because you see, Ashlyn, this little girl, she suffered from a disease called congenital insensitivity to pain with anhidrosis. It's SIPA is what they call it. And SIPA is a very rare genetic disorder that only affects a very minute, tiny group of people in the world. And what this genetic disorder does is it makes one unable to feel. They can't feel. They can't feel pain. And so Tara Blocker, this mother, in an interview, she said this. She said, some people would say that not feeling pain is a good thing, but it's not. She goes on to say that pain is there in our lives for a reason. We experience pain for a reason. It's your body's way of letting you know, your brain's way of letting you know that something needs attention, something needs to be dealt with, something needs to be fixed. And these next words from this loving mother, this passionate, hurting mother, the next words out of her mouth is what impacted me the most when she said this. She said, I'd give anything for my daughter to be able to feel pain. I would give anything for my daughter to be able to feel pain. Think about it. Every one of us in this room who are parents and grandparents, we want just the opposite. We pray every day that our children, our grandchildren, will never experience pain. And yet here's this loving mother who's saying, God, if you would just let my daughter hurt, let her feel pain. We talked about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago. If you're a part of this church family, I just kind of want to hit it real quickly today and just say it this way. Pain is our friend. Pain is our friend. The truth is this is the reason why so many people are unable to heal in their lives. This isn't really part of my message, this part, but I want to say it to all of us today. This is the reason why so many people repeat the cycles in their life. This is the reason why you see the hurts perpetuate year after year and sometimes generation after generation in people's lives, is because they don't want to experience the pain. And so all along, all they're wanting to do is just slap a Band-Aid on their pain. And you're probably wondering, why in the world would he be talking about all this on Graduate Sunday? This is a crazy build-up for a speech to encourage and strengthen those that's going into the world. And the reason I share this is because this mentality of always doing everything we can to avoid pain, seeking to always celebrate and never to mourn, trying to always win and never lose, it's dysfunctional. It's dysfunctional. I'm not a big fan of the new mindset in the world today. Everybody gets a trophy. I'm not a fan of that at all, because we're telling people you only get to win. It's all about, you got to win every time. And if you can't really win, then we're going to make you feel like a winner. We're just going to make you, even though you're really not a winner in softball or baseball, we're going to make you feel like it. Everybody gets a trophy. I hope I don't step on any of our toes today, because there was a lot of athletes up here today, and there's a lot of athletes around here from pre-K all the way up. But I've been to some of these ballparks before, and some of you mamas, y'all mamas are worse than the daddies, but y'all are doing everything you can to protect those little babies of yours that are three times your size, but they're still your little babies, and don't let that umpire pick on your baby. Don't let that teacher single my child out. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to defend them. They need defending. That call was not right at first base. Are you blind, man? What's your problem? This is meant to be funny, by the way. You're supposed to be laughing with me today. I'm not picking on anybody. You know it's true. You pick on yourselves. You know what you do. But can I just say this? Can I say that our children, they need some bad calls in their life? They need some unfair situations to happen in their life. I'm going to just step on out there a little bit further and say that, you know what? Our children need to experience bullying a little bit. We're working. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead. Come on. Yeah, you can clap at that. That's all right. You know why? Because what we're doing is we're saying we want to safeguard everything, and we want to carry everybody around on a pillow so that they never feel any disappointment. They never feel hurt in any way. They never feel any kind of pain whatsoever. They need to experience these things, and then they need us to step up and say, now this is how you handle that situation. Yes, that was unfair. Yes, that umpire was blind as a bat. Yes, that person said this and did this to you. But here's the thing, baby, you need to know that. That person hurt you because they're hurting. Don't turn into that person. This is who you are. This is who God says that you are. And we do the reinforcement at home and with that child. I don't know where I went. I didn't even have any of this written down. Listen, ain't nobody more loving and affectionate and wanting to guard their babies more than this one guy up here in front of you. But I realize that for the proper progression of life to happen, for the proper growth to happen in my baby's life, is for her to experience some disappointment sometime. She's going to have some pain in her life. Otherwise, when she's 18 and 19 years old and she goes out there into the world, I know she's going to face it, because those same ones that picked on her in fifth grade will be the same people that will be picking on your child whenever they're 40 and 50 and 60 years old, because bullies don't usually grow out of it. So they need to know how to deal with it. Okay, I was supposed to be encouraging our graduates today, and I went to preaching to Kevin and all the other parents in the room. I didn't mean to do that. But this prevailing mentality that has consumed our world today is in stark contrast to this text that we just read from Ecclesiastes that I read just a few moments ago. This scripture here in chapter 3, it speaks of seasons. Seasons. It speaks of how every season has a purpose. Every season has a purpose. And then Solomon is even more specific when he starts defining what these seasons are and what they look like. And he's talking about things like tearing down and building up. He's referring to things like laughing and being jovial and celebrating in the same sentence that he's speaking of mourning and crying and weeping. He's speaking of mourning and dancing. He's referring to all these contrasting events and these contrasting emotions. And he's saying that every single one of them, every single one of them has significant purpose. Every one of them have purpose in our lives and our future. Let me just say this right now, and graduates, grab a hold of this one statement, if you will. It's simple, but it's profound. Everything is temporary. Everything except God Himself, who is eternal, who is the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, anything outside of that, anything you know and experience here on earth, even the relationships and the people in your life, everything is temporary. The truth is we can't laugh all the time. Oh, I love to laugh. Last night we had a great time at the Mahan's house, sitting around a circle together, and we laughed. We laughed till we were hurting in our stomachs. We were laughing so hard. But you can't laugh all the time. You can't live in a season of laughing all the time. You can't dance all the time. Sometimes we need to dance. Sometimes we need to make that choice, and we need to dance, but you can't dance all the time. I love fall weather. I love it when that first little cool breeze comes in, that autumn breeze comes in the fall, right after that scorching hot summer here in Louisiana. I love it, but you know what? We can't live in fall all the time. It would mess the whole cycle of everything up. We can't enjoy the blooming vegetation of spring all the time. If it was spring year-round, things would not work right. You can't experience daytime with the beautiful clear blue skies of sunshine 24 hours a day. It messes everything up. Just ask the people of Alaska. They'll tell you. We can't have beautiful blue skies with no rain clouds and no storms all the time. Just ask the farmer, Jack. You can't have it all the time. You need every season of the year. And it seems that we're just so prone sometimes to complain about the sweltering hot days of summer or those bitter cold days of winter. However, we need them. We need them. They are a necessity in our lives, in our climate. The peach tree grows best in warmer climates. climate's a lot like ours. However, the peach tree farmer, I don't know if Ricky still raises peach trees or not, but I know at one time he did. The peach tree farmer knows that he has to be very strategic about when and where he plants the trees. A peach tree requires several hundred consecutive hours of chilling winter temperatures below 40 in order for it to produce fruit in the next season. So while we're looking at that ugly, bare, seemingly dead peach tree in December with temperatures in the 30s, just remember that there's something powerful that is happening underneath the surface. There is something that's taking place during what seems like a dead and cold season of this tree's life. This is a necessary season in this tree's life. If it's going to produce fruit in the future, it's got to go through this hard, cold winter. It's experiencing some things that you and I can't see with the naked eye. Something's being produced in the peach tree. In other words, let me say it this way. The colder the winter, the greater the harvest. The colder the winter, the greater the harvest. Can I just say it this way? Don't curse your crisis. Don't curse your crisis. We're so quick to want to curse well, the things that we call bad and negative in our lives. We're so quick to want to curse the things that don't go the way we thought and hoped that they would go. We're so quick to curse the seasons when all of our dreams were dashed and all of our hopes were gone. And in those seasons, we tend to curse those moments and look back and see that one failure in my past or where I missed the mark somehow, and I want to curse those moments. I want to remind us all today, don't curse your crisis, because we all know this. If you've lived any life at all, you know that you don't grow through your successes. We don't grow through our success. I can tell you as a 46-year-old man, I've had some great euphoric, somewhat at times what you might consider successful moments in my life, but I can tell you this, those were great times. Those were wonderful seasons. I've had some laughing experiences. I've had some dancing experiences in my life. I've had joyful moments, and they are great times. I've had daytime sunshine, blue skies moments in my life. Those are wonderful times, and we celebrate the goodness and the blessings and the favor of God during those times, but we don't grow in those seasons. We don't become the people that God has called us to be in those seasons. We grow through our failure. That's where we learn. That's where we grow. We don't grow in the sunshine. We don't learn anything in the sunshine. We learn in the storm. In the daylight hours, we're self-reliant. In the daylight hours, I can handle it all. I can figure it out because I can see it. I can put my hands on it. I can deal with it. But it's in the nighttime where we truly learn to trust God. It's in the night seasons of our life when I can't even see my hand in front of my face and I'm having to lean and depend on just whatever I can step into. And if I'm stepping by faith, God is teaching and He's producing something and He's working something in that dark and then that winter season of my life, something I can't see. Since I was about 9 years of age, and still today, I love roller coasters. Any coaster fans in the room today? I'm telling you, put me in an amusement park, I'm a big old kid, I promise you. I've been to every amusement park in the Southeast, I believe, several times over. I just love it. And for the rest of you crazies in the room like me, why do we do what we do? Why do we put our emotions through what we put our emotions through? Our nerves get all worked up. We get in that line, and as we're waiting in those long lines, our blood pressure is rising to near stroke stages. And while we're there, we get on that ride, and that it starts that first ascension on that first climb, and you hear the clicking of the track, and we're about to die. And then there's all the ebb and flow, and the ups and the downs, and there's moments of sheer terror. And then there will be those moments where our stomach ends up in our throat, and then there's those G-forces. Where we nearly black out. And then all of a sudden there's these gorgeous, breathtaking views where you literally feel like you're floating on top of the world. It's the roller coaster ride. But how does that ride begin? And this is the practical part I just want to leave in closing today for these graduates. How does that ride begin? You're in for a ride, guys. It's going to be some good times. There's going to be some success. There's going to be some euphoric moments. There's going to be happiness. There's going to be joy. There's going to be fun. There's going to be all of these amazing things. There's going to be days you feel like you could whip the world. And then there's going to be some other days. And if I just talk to you about the good days today, I haven't done my job. I want to tell you about the other days. And on those other days, it's important that before we get on that ride of life that we've done what happens every time when you get on a roller coaster. There's that first step. There's that first part of the process. We call it the strapping in. The harnessing up, if you will. And I think this part of the process is the preparation for the ride. Your parents have prepared you. They've done an incredible job of protecting you and pouring into your life and setting examples for you and leading you and guiding you. But now you're strapping in. Now you're harnessing up for your own ride. And the roller coaster ride of life, this means surrounding ourselves. Just some practical stuff here. Make an intentional effort to surround yourself with the right people. Make sure you have the right and proper influences around you. Get rid of all of the negative forces. Have people of God around you. Have people of the Word around you. Have people that are going to strengthen you and encourage. Have people that's not afraid to pray with you when you're going through things in life. Surround yourself. Harness yourself up. Get ready for the ride because it's going to be a ride, but do it the right way. Let's strap in the right way. Surround yourself with the right people. Plant yourself in God's Word. Let His Word be planted deeply inside of your heart. Meditate on it every single day. Have His Word. Continue to look at His Word. Up to this point, you've had parents that told you, yeah, you're going to church Sunday morning. Yeah, but I'm encouraging you, wherever you find yourself, if you're staying home or if you're going abroad, if it's Starkville, Mississippi, if it's New Orleans, Baton Rouge, wherever it may be, I'm encouraging you, find a family of faith. There's a church on every corner. It don't have to look and sound and feel like you think Life Church does or how you want it to. Just get around some people that are going to strengthen you and encourage you where you can worship together. Do it. Make that effort. It'll be so easy not to. But some of us just have to prepare. We have to prepare for the ride of our lives. You need those people in your life that are going to hold you accountable. Those people that will challenge you to go further and to be greater and to pursue the purpose and the calling that God has on your life. Don't be one of those statistics or just one of those people like everybody that says, well, I went and did my first college, gained my college 15, got my beer gut and all that good stuff. Don't be that person. Surround yourself with people of God's, have the Word of God in your heart and in your life, and then once you've strapped in, you get ready for the ride of your life, and I'm going to tell you something, it's going to be an amazing ride. I cannot wait to see. I'm so excited about seeing what your future looks like. I can't wait to see your future spouses and your future children and your future lives and ministries and callings and God using you in an incredible way. There's a great future in front of you. Don't discount it. If you're hearing my voice today, graduate, know that God's got a great plan for you. And James said it this way. I'm closing. There he goes. James said it this way in the first chapter of James. He said, count it all joy. Go ahead and mark it down. You can count this as joy when you go through various trials. Because it is the producing. When you go through these trials, when you go through these winter months of your life, when you go through those dark seasons, when you go through those hopeless moments, when you go through those times when it seems like you can't see the future in front of you, when you're going through these seasons, James said this, go ahead and mark it down. This is a good thing. You can go ahead and count this as joy. It doesn't mean you're feeling happy right now, but you can go ahead and know that it's gonna produce joy in your life. This thing, this trial you're going through, it is producing something in you that you cannot see with the naked eye. You cannot feel it with your human emotions. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, that famous verse that we love so much, we know that all things are working together for good. Farther down in that passage, Paul will start defining, just as Solomon did in Ecclesiastes, what all those things are. He would speak of things like tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ. It's taken everything I could do over the last few minutes since I've been up here to keep from saying two people's names who I didn't even realize were at church today till I was standing up here preaching. And I see Jared and Ashley Anderson sitting back here on the back today. It's been a dark season. been a tough time. I think some 11 or 12 total days in the hospital in Shreveport. Half of that time not even knowing what the answers were or what the plan could be. Neuropathy in hands and feet, not being able to walk without a walker in a wheelchair. Full of life and a future here, and I know the thoughts. I can only imagine sitting in a hospital bed, the thoughts, the fears, the worries. A dark season, a winter season. And I thank God they're coming out of that season. Thank God they're coming out of that season. But this is what's so amazing. When Jared and Ashley look back at this season of their lives, they won't curse this season. Oh, they're cursing it right now. They're confused right now. There's pain right now. But when they look back, this is the season where they grew. This is the season where God revealed himself. This is the season where they learned who they were. This is the season where all of those eternal things really began to happen in their lives. And it's through this season, all things working together, it's through this season that they become more than conquerors. Not through the successes. They're both successful people. They're both amazingly successful people in the medical field. They've done great things. But those aren't the things that's going to make them more than conquerors. This is the season. I'm sorry to single you guys out today. I hope you don't mind. But this is the season that will make them more than conquerors. When they look back 10, 15, 20 years from now, this will be the season where they say, it was there that we became more than conquerors through Christ. So here's what I close with. If this is a good day for you, and it certainly is a great day for our graduates, enjoy this day. Take it all in. Celebrate this great moment and this great achievement in your life. However, while you're smiling, while you're laughing, while you're celebrating, while you're dancing in this season, know this. And I don't say this to be a negative, I just say it to prepare you. This day won't last forever. This day is going to pass. Everything is temporary. There will be some weeping. There will be some losses. There will be some hardships. But those seasons will be temporary as well. And they will serve a great purpose in ushering you into your God-given destiny. And you'll be able to count it all as joy because you'll know that God is working all things together for good. So my wish for you, the song they sang earlier, I'm going to change the words a little bit and I'm not going to sing it. But this is my wish for you, graduates. As a matter of fact, for every one of us in this room today, this is my wish. I wish you much dancing. Dance in the rain. Choose to dance. But I also wish you some mourning. I wish that on you today. I wish you laughter. But I also wish you some tears. I wish you to be built up. But I also wish you to be torn down. I wish you much gain, but I also wish you some loss. I wish you the joy of love, but I also wish you the sting of love. I wish you peace, and yes, at times, I wish you war. Because when we understand the power of season, when we understand the purpose of every season, then we understand that with God, all things are working together to bring about the very best life that we could ever possibly imagine, a life in Him. Would you stand with me today across this room? Lord, today we are so very thankful, God, that you have the world in the palm of your hand and you have our individual lives in the very center and palm of your hand. I thank you, God, that we can have a peace today knowing that you are ordering every single step of our lives. And God, I thank you today, God, that you're in control. We're not. I'm thankful that you're God and I'm not. And I'm thankful, God, that you see the end from the beginning. You don't just see the little tiny piece of the puzzle we're living in this moment, whatever it may be, if it's joy or if it's pain. But God, you see the massive, beautiful landscape of our lives from beginning to end. You are the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. So God, today, help us to embrace all that you want to do in our lives, knowing that you're working all things together for good. Bless our graduates, God. May they understand and know the gravity and the power and the purpose of season, every single season of life. And we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we worship?